Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Just using your instincts, the Bills as an 8.5-point favorite, the Ravens as a 9.5-point favorite, which might even be 10 now, but going by those numbers, 8.5 and 9.5, what percent chance would there be, by the odds, that both teams win? Not cover, win.
96%.
66.
Really?
Yep.
That's really low.
For one team to win in that range, it's, I don't know what it would be, like 85, 80, 85.
All right.
And then for both, maybe a little higher, then for both, it would only be two and three.
Oh, it is a parlay. That does decrease your chances. Yeah.
I think the parlay.
I should have known. I have a lot of experience.
Parlay, the Bills, and you do, more, way more than me. I felt like I was bragging by saying that. I don't know. But parlay the Bills and Ravens money line. It'll be like minus 200, which will be
right.
Two-thirds, you know,
right.
66%.
Yeah.
Not as
No, it's not as
locked
it's
in.
Not as dominant sounding as I would have liked. I guess 96. I would have settled for like 83 even. But 66. Ugh,
66.
I'm up by 30%. That's terrible.
You run the Sims 3 times on those two games alone. They both win twice, on average. Go Steelers. Saturday will be... Saturday is going to be awesome, right?
Well, you say that now.
Well, looking forward to it will be awesome.
I know, I'm kidding around.
Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens. It reminds me of the night the Titans played Cincinnati. The night before 13 seconds. And the Titans were the one, and Cincinnati was not. Cincinnati was kind of like this Denver, sort of, where they beat the Raiders maybe the week before on a cheap call. Just like, okay, whatever.
Maybe with like Mac McGloin playing quarterback or something. No, I'm sorry. I don't need to mix this up here. All right.
But you're getting me going, because you know I like random playoff quarterback starts.
Right.
No, but anyway, the Bengals were just sort of like not
they weren't the Bengals.
Serious.
They weren't the Bengals yet. Yeah.
And they won in Tennessee in overtime on that Saturday night, which meant the Bills, the winner of the Bills-Chiefs game was going to be home for the AFC Championship, and I was at a meat raffle that night, which is, you know, a fun, festive atmosphere.
Sure is.
And it became that much more festive when everybody watched on, like, 10 phones around the room the Bengals win that game.
Right.
And the place just blew up.
All we got to do now is beat the Chiefs.
Well, wouldn't the Steelers winning have that sort of effect?
Yes. Yes, I think it would. I think we should know from this example and others not to get too far ahead of ourselves with that. I'm sort of hearkening back to like 3 hours ago, this very start of the show. But yeah. Yes, it absolutely would. I mean, for sure. I mean, I'm sleeping easier Saturday night if I watch the Steelers beat the Ravens. I mean, I reckon we talked this all through earlier. I wanna weaken the pool of playoff teams, is what I'm referring to when I say pool, if anybody doesn't know. I'm gonna weaken the pool as quickly as I can. So, yeah, sure. I might like the Chargers' chances of beating the Chiefs more than I like the Steelers' chances of beating the Chiefs. But if Baltimore is already out as a result of Pittsburgh having to go play Kansas City now, that's a win for me. Provided I take care of my business, against Denver, then what am I drawing? I'm drawing the winner of the Chargers-Texans game. That sounds pretty great. I mean, I know you still, have to win another game, but that changes the path considerably. I mean, Baltimore is just absolutely, to me, they're on the tier with the Chiefs and the Bills, have been almost all year. Everybody else just kind of jockeying for position. And to varying degrees, you know, different things can scare you about any of these other teams. Not having to deal with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson would be tremendous. I mean, again, I think Kansas City basically gets a walkover if that happens. So I'm going to have to go there. But, man, the alternative is what? Like Baltimore beats Pittsburgh on Saturday night, like they should. And the Chargers, the Chargers, they can do it. Okay, maybe they do their part. They beat Houston. Now they're going to go into KC, and some act of God is going to block a field goal of theirs that could win the game. And I'm just going to go to Kansas City anyway, plus deal with Baltimore. Get Baltimore out of here, Pittsburgh. You can figure it out. I mean, I'm not, by saying all of this, predicting it happens. Pittsburgh looks like they are dying on the field right now. They offensively, they look as bad as they looked earlier in the year, and even when Roethlisberger was on his last legs. Like, that's where they're at offensively. They just don't have anything going on.
It really is interesting. It's debatable, but it's reasonable to me to say that this is the third time in 4 years that they are the worst team in the entire playoffs. The 2021 team was 11-0.
Mm-hmm.
And fell apart, and then they went to Kansas with Ben. They went to Kansas City and got crushed. Last year, they're on Mason Rudolph, just on fumes down the stretch, come here, crushed. And then this, on a four-game losing streak to end it, and they're not scoring,
yards. At least they've got T.J. Watt this year. Last year, they didn't even have him against the Bills. It was another reason why. Like, that was just not a game that you had to really be that worried about at all. You know, at least they've got him. Like, that's – anytime you're playing that guy, it's like, you know, does he make one or two plays here that just could swing a game if it's tighter than it should be? So that's a big plus for them, but still, I mean
– Well, you know I love the Ravens, but – even this game against them, Pittsburgh, in this stretch, 3 games ago, with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, it was 17-all. This is 3 games ago. It's the same Pittsburgh team that can't score and, I don't know, can't function, I guess. I think Pickens even missed the game. Now, he's a mess now again, but the game was 17-all with 2 minutes to go in the third. Jackson to Andrews, touchdown, and then a pick six, and now it's over. Turnovers, right? Like, just
that's also the game where Wilson fumbled down close to the Pittsburgh goal line, didn't he?
Yep.
After a long scramble?
Yep.
Right. So pick six plus that, which, I mean, that's at least a field goal.
Yep.
You know, probably. So
it's just really hard for me, and I think for a lot of people, to imagine a one-sided Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. Because there never is one. I mean, there probably has been. I could look.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, that ended up being 17. 34-17 was the final score there. And I wonder when the last time they played was that was as one-sided, in just on the scoreboard, is that, as I'm saying.
It wasn't really that game until late.
It was not that one-sided of a game. So, that's Saturday. I would just be so stressed if I were the Ravens about that matchup. I don't love the Chargers idea either. That's the 34-17. All right. Why is this my favorite thing that the games are all scores in the teens? Because their previous 8 meetings moving forward in time were 19-14 Steelers, 20-19 Steelers, 16-13 Steelers, 16-14 Baltimore, 16-13 Steelers, 17-10 Steelers, 17-10 Steelers, 18-16 Steelers, 34-17 Baltimore. It's the first time in 9 or 10 meetings that either team scored more than 20.
There was a lot of Steelers wins in there.
Yeah. I think Jackson might have missed a couple of these games, but still. Remember the one during COVID Robert Griffin played?
Oh, my gosh.
On a Wednesday?
Yeah.
That was the first game on that list, 19-14.
Robert Griffin.
Robert Griffin and Trace McSorley.
That's incredible that he played that recently. Like he already became like pretty popular on ESPN and got fired. and he just played that recently. That just seems there's a lot has happened there.
Yeah, that was his last start in the league.
Wow.
Loving the relatively obscure quarterback names today. Wofford, your Woffords, your McSorleys,
your McGloins,
your Anthony Wrights. How about this name? I'm going to pull a Matthew on you. No way do you know this name. Tim Van Galder.
No, I definitely don't know that name, and I'm pretty sure it's made up.
Not made up. Watching the old games, wake up, there it is. It's just sort of running through the This Week in Pro Football shows. Here's a guy on the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, Van Galder. Nothing. I know a lot of these names. Nothing for me on Tim Van Galder. So I wake up, I come to, look at the screen, that's what I've got. Immediately I'm on my phone before I even get up out of bed, anything. But pre-bathroom, immediately I'm on my phone. Who is Tim? I got to see this guy's reference page. St. Louis. And first thing you see, he's got a nickname.
Oh, sure. Galdi.
TVG.
It was gettable.
It was gettable. He started 5 games for St. Louis in 1972.
At quarterback?
Yeah.
Wow.
1 touchdown, 7 picks. Different times. The
touchdown, 7 picks. And you got to play more than one game.
And you got on TV.
Right, that's incredible.
The stats are so amazing in those days, especially turnovers like that. We've talked about this many times. Like Bradshaw and Stabler. Stabler's what, near 50-50 ratio, touchdowns to picks. The 80 Raiders, that's not a Stabler team. It's a Super Bowl winning team, Plunkett. So what do the Bills have this year? 8 turnovers, right? 17, sure. They played all their games?
Yep.
17, they didn't even have a turnover with Trubisky and Mike White. 8 turnovers, pretty good. The 80 Raiders had 44 in fewer games. Super Bowl winner.
Right.
And the Bills had 32 takeaways this year, which was among the best rates in the league. The Raiders had 52 takeaways in 1980 and 14 more in the playoffs. They had 66. How do you win a Super Bowl? They had 66 takeaways. Didn't the 80 Raiders.
Rod Martin have 3 interceptions in the Super Bowl?
Yes. Right. One guy had 3. He kept throwing it. Jaworski kept throwing it to Rod Martin.
Right.
I mean, their games had 6, on average, 6 turnovers per game. And you see, like, that one column on the reference pages with turnovers, like 7, 8, 5. Just how? What was the difference in the sport that there were so many more turnovers? It's not just picks.
Well, no gloves.
No gloves.
Was the ball a little fatter? No, I'm kidding. The ball.
Stripes?
Sure. I mean, I guess if they're going to keep giving it to me, it's not as bad as if I keep giving it to you, yep, right? So like, everyone's turning it over. It's not like one team stands out from the other that much. I mean, obviously, some teams are going to have more than others, but I don't know.
Basketball.
I just know it was crazy. Like, as a kid, the Wednesday when the stats were in the paper, right, the league leaders. This started for me when OJ was in his heyday chasing the Jim Brown record and ultimately 2,000 yards in 1973. Like looking at the leaders and the quarterback stats. For me, I don't have to be right about this, but the like looking at it, any guy who had more touchdowns than interceptions, like, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
he's doing pretty good. He's had like touchdown to interception ratio, if like 50-50 was, yeah, okay, you know, give and take. It's incredible. Like, imagine, you know, turning a game on now and Troy Aikman is talking about an MVP caliber quarterback who's got 30 touchdowns and 28 interceptions. He's like, well, you know, at least he kept the interceptions under the touchdown number, so that's a good measuring stick. He's doing good.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's Jameis. Like, Jameis is a joke.
Poor Jameis.
For the 31 picks or whatever it was that one year. And that was very common.
1978, Fran Tarkenton led the league with 32 interceptions. 1988, Vinny Testaverde led the league with 35. 1998, Peyton Manning led the league with 28 interceptions.
Peyton Manning!
I mean, these are all great players. 2005, Brett Favre led the NFL with 29 interceptions. Remember that? Oh, he's fun. Makes it work. This year, what's the league leading number? It was a tie.
14?
16. Cousins and Mayfield led the league in picks. It was 15 2 years ago. Prescott and Davis Mills. 15, Drew Locke and Carson Wentz in 2020. Yeah, well, you get it. A couple Bills on here. Fitzpatrick, 1 year, Ferguson. Kelly. Kelly with 19 in 92. Oh, which reminds me. Exciting news.
Mm-hmm.
The pork rinds people have a new ambassador. Do you know who it is?
I do not.
Thurman.
Come on.
Yes, he just tweeted about it with a little fist emoji.
Well, that's awesome. I don't think we need pork rinds to get to Thurman.
I don't know.
But you know, it's a reason to, you know, consider getting back on the show. It's been a while. You've been doing a regular thing with the guys before us, I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to Thurman in a long time. He is he's a new ambassador for the pork rinds people. We've had a lot of history.
Your Billy White Shoes Johnsons, your
Jack Youngblood.
Thank you. Thank you.
And there was one other one, I think. I haven't gotten the email from them, though, this year. It's a Radio Row thing.
Maybe it's a little early. Although those pork rinds people like to be on top of it.
I have to admit, I have a couple of bags from last year's.
Hall. Hall of pork rinds.
Mm.
Well, let's see if Thurman's amenable to come out here and hawking some pork rinds with us.
I would love nothing more than that. I would love nothing more. Congrats to Thurman on that. So what do I get? Well, for one thing, we're going to farm you out to all these radio shows. You're going to love it. Hopefully there's a good check. I mean, that would be that's not enough. Getting visibility on local radio shows would not be enough. You'd want to be
compensated
more.
I mean, there is the inherent pride of being affiliated with a brand as powerful as pork rinds. I mean, there is that.
I remember in my house, like, what are these?
I know.
Right? It's like, what is it? Is it a chip? What is going on? I mean, it's pork rinds.
Yep.
I'd go to visit my grandparents every summer in southern Ohio. They'd have pork rinds, like, basically hanging from the ceiling. Just bags of pork rinds. That was a staple down there.
Really paint a certain kind of picture.
That was a regular snack. That was the snack, I want to say, down in Zeni, Ohio in the day. Sam Monson, speaking of Southern Ohio, Sam Monson, who lives in Cincinnati, joined us earlier to talk about the playoffs. How good are the Broncos? What do they do well? What about the Bills in this matchup? And we covered most of the playoff matchups in the bracket here with Sam. Always a great conversation. That'll be next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.